We are focusing on Matthew's Gospel this year, and last week we began in chapter 10. We focused on a couple of the verses that tell us who the 12 disciples were, and today we're going to read the surrounding verses which tell us what they were sent to do, which is important because that's what we've been sent to do. We're reading in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, and then skipping down to verse 5 and picking up there. And let's pray before we read God's Word. Lord, when you speak to us, things change. They change for the better. They change for grace and goodness and the expansion of your love in our lives. We're ready for some more of that. So speak. Speak into the depths of our hearts. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Matthew 10, verse 1, and then picking up at verse 5. Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it, but if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on that day of judgment than for that town. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, there's been a new manuscript found of the Gospel according to Matthew. Right, and it includes this new part of the story. It was right after Jesus spoke the Beatitudes. You know, the blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the peacemakers, and so on. Well, Peter chimes up and says, are we supposed to know this? And James said, will there be a test on this? And Philip said, I don't have any paper. And Andrew said, will we have to turn it in? And John said, you know, I don't think the other disciples had to learn this. And Matthew said, may I go to the boys' room? And Judas said, what does this have to do with real life? And Jesus wept. We laugh because we've read the gospel and we know that's not far from the truth about the disciples. But the real joke is that it's not far from the truth about us. And this school of discipleship, it's always easier for us to attend the lectures than it is to take the test. In fact, we would audit the discipleship course if we could. But have any of you ever mastered a subject while auditing a course? No. Some kind of test is required for mastery of a subject. In fact, if you really want to learn, not only does there have to be a test, there needs to be a lab. Which is not to say that we're keen on labs. You remember how much fun biology was till you got to the lab? And then you found out you actually had to touch that dead frog with your hands. And the biology teacher persisted against all objections because the biology teacher knew that this is not just educational theory, this is fact. That hands-on learning teaches us in a different, deeper, more memorable kind of way than just what we hear with the ears. It takes place by putting our hands on, by engaging with whatever it is that we're in the moment learning. Jesus knew that his disciples needed these kinds of hands-on experiences, a putting, learning into practice kind of experience. The disciples had already been blown away by Jesus' teaching. They'd never heard anything like this ever. But Jesus wasn't satisfied with their amazement. He wanted their transformation. And so he made sure that they didn't have just lecture, but they also had some tests and labs. And it worked like this. Jesus' basic message was the kingdom of God is near. And by that he meant that God reigns. He's in control now. His kingdom is advancing. And it's become apparent in the coming of the Messiah that this is what he's about. Because in the Messiah, this broken world is being restored and evil is being put to flight. And Jesus didn't just tell about this kingdom, he demonstrated its character. He knew the value of show and tell, if you will. He didn't just tell about it, he showed them. So if you look up the page from chapter 10, these are the examples of this in chapter 9, just in this one chapter. They brought him a paralytic on a bed, and he forgave him and healed him, and he stood up and walked. He raised a little girl from the dead. He healed a woman who'd been sick with a flow of blood for 12 years. He healed two blind men. There was a man who was mute from demonic oppression, and Jesus delivered him so he could speak. Now, when you see paralyzed legs take their first step, and when you see a little girl who was laid out dead stand up and walk, and when you witness blind men blinking because the light is so bright that they've never seen before, and when you hear a man who's never spoken speak, well, you know that changes you. And it changed the disciples. This is what was happening with Jesus day in and day out. And everything he said, everything he did, changed them. That's how Jesus' ministry began. But Jesus knew that the time had come for the lab. They'd heard him teach. They'd seen him act. Now it was time for the disciples to try their hands at these kingdom kinds of activities. So Jesus sent them out to do the same ministry he was doing. Luke tells us that he sent them out in pairs. So now instead of Jesus himself doing all of the healing and delivering of those demonized, there were six teams going in six directions. So this ministry of the advancing kingdom was suddenly spreading out and reaching farther each day. So were they ready? Well, no. But if Jesus had waited till his disciples felt ready, they would never have gotten to the lab. They would never have gotten to the hands-on part of ministry. So Jesus gave them what they needed. He gave them a hands-on assignment. And he gave them his authority to carry this out. His authority over evil, his authority to heal the sick. It's sort of like what happens when a sheriff deputizes a deputy, puts a star on the deputy's chest, which is a giving of the authority to act in the stead of the sheriff. So the deputy shows up, and because the star's on the deputy's chest, it's the same as if the sheriff were at the door. They didn't minister in their own authority, they ministered in the authority of Jesus. Their own authority would have gone nowhere, but the authority of Jesus, well, they had just seen where that went. And Jesus was pinning it on their chest, as it were. Go to a doctor's office, not just the exam room, but the doctor's office, and you'll see on the wall some diplomas. Or go to an attorney's office, and you'll see the same thing, diplomas on the wall. What's the purpose of these diplomas on the wall? Well, they testify to authority, to competence to carry out this particular profession. So how many of you have disciple diplomas? Well, not really. We don't have these on our walls, do we? So what is it that testifies that you have the authority to do what Jesus did? Well, here's what Jesus told his disciples to do. Tell the good news about the kingdom, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. That was his plan of old. His plan hasn't changed. By what authority would you do these things? Well, the sign of your authority is not hanging on the wall at home. It's right here in the front of the sanctuary, this baptismal font. There may have been some of you baptized at this baptismal font, but somewhere, those of you who followed Jesus were baptized. And by the waters of baptism, Jesus pinned that deputy's star on your chest. You were deputized as his agent of the kingdom. It's the seal that testifies that you bear his authority. The Lord's authority is not manifest in a star you wear on your chest, but it is manifest in this new identity that you have in Jesus, which baptism sealed to you. And so you've been sent out as one officially set aside by Jesus, and in promise given the Spirit and the Spirit's power to carry out your ministry. Now, there's something else important to know about this discipleship lab. Even when we're baptized and given authority, serving Jesus is always an adventure. You can have the star on your chest, but that doesn't mean that it's not going to stretch you. In fact, Jesus intentionally designed this lab time when he sent out these six pairs of disciples. He designed it to stretch them, to put them in a place where they would have to trust him. And here's the regimen of trust that he gave them. He said, take no pay from anyone to whom you go. He said, don't take any money. Okay, don't take pay and don't take money. This is a nervous combination. Just take the clothes that are on your back. God will provide food and lodging. And when you come into a village, don't be flitting about from house to house looking for a better deal. Just get somewhere and stay put. Now, across the centuries, as people have sought to interpret the instructions of Jesus, sometimes they've misunderstood what he was doing and thought, oh, these are the directions for the mission of Jesus, and they're carved in stone. Well, actually, if you read on down the page a bit in the book of Acts, you'll find out that the Lord sent people with different directions in different seasons. Already in the New Testament, they were being sent with different regimens of trust. But the regimen of trust, in one way or another, will be there. When you're sent to minister in the name of Jesus, there will be something, something about that mission that he's given you that puts you in the place where you have to trust him to provide on the spot. And so the activities and the places and the people that you encounter will indeed be beyond your management. They'll be beyond your comfort zone. You'll be out there in a place where you're having to trust him. So the Lord not only gave them a task beyond what they could do, tell about the kingdom, heal the sick, deliver the demonized, he also gave them this regimen of their material provision and lodging and so on that also put them in that place of trust. In one way or another, he does the same thing with us. That's how the Lord did and does. So where are we as the St. Giles Church engaging in this kind of kingdom lab business? Well, most of y'all know Joe and Tommy. Joe and Tommy make visits door to door. When there's been a murder in one of the neighborhoods, they go with the police door to door, knocking on doors just in the surrounding homes to talk with the families, the people that were affected by the shooting next door, to bring them comfort and encouragement. Gordon Pryor has been retired as a dentist for lots of years, but he still fixes teeth, goes to Crossover Clinic, and fixes the teeth of those who can't afford dental care. George and Jenny Green and others of us go over to chat and tutor kids who face extra challenges in their home life and in their schooling. We go to Egypt each year and do a medical clinic with our sister church in Cairo, where we minister to the poor, most of whom are Muslim. And that's the short list of the ways that we serve this advancing kingdom here at St. Giles. And every single one of those carries some risk. Every single one of those ministries puts us in a place where we have to trust because we're in over our heads. When Joe and Tommy make these visits after a murder, they never know what they're going to find on the other side of the door when they knock. Some of the folks aren't happy they've come. And some of the folks have the kind of needs you'd rather not know about because it's just, what do you do with that? Gordon Pryor, in his dental care over at Crossover, he's risking involvement with people whose needs go far beyond their teeth. And who needs that in retirement? When the Greens go and tutor kids at CHAP, they are setting themselves up to face the kinds of needs that are beyond their immediate ability to meet. When we go to Egypt and do our medical clinic, every time we hear about a terrorist bombing against Christians, it just reminds us of the risk that the Christians there live with every day and that we partner with them in when we go ourselves. In one way or another, all mission requires some risk. But we do it. We do it because He has told us to do it. And we see through the New Testament these various instructions for what He wants us to be about, to care for the widow and the orphan and the poor, and to befriend the stranger and to visit prisoners. And actually, we do it not just because He told us, we do it because, gosh, there's a great reward in this. I mean, if you've done these things, I mean, there's no better payoff than to minister to someone in the name of Jesus. But did you notice what I left out of the list? The very things that Jesus told His disciples to do here in Matthew 10. Now, all those things, tutoring, dental care, medical clinic, all the rest, they're all to the good. But most of the time, while we're doing these good things that we've been sent to do, we neglect some of the primary things that Jesus first sent His disciples to do. He said, proclaim the good news of the kingdom, cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. So wasn't that the old form of Christian ministry, and now we're in a new age where we do different kinds of ministry? Well, actually, we have discovered some new means of ministry, but it's not like anything that Jesus sent us to do has an expiration date. And when Jesus chose what to put first when He sent His disciples out, He chose these things. Deliver the demonized. Heal the sick. Sometimes we, in doing all of our good things, manage to push to the side some of these things that Jesus put first. Or we just outsource them. We know that the Pentecostals down the street kind of major in healing prayer and deliverance, and so, you know, we proper Presbyterians have our thing, they've got their thing, we'll pass the ball to them. Or we, here in our own church, we just leave it to the prayer ministers, or we leave it to the pastors to do these kinds of things. Little problem with that. It's not what Jesus said to do. At the close of the Gospel of Matthew, we have these famous words that we call the Great Commission. Look at that last phrase. Teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. What is everything? What do you mean by everything? Usually when we hear that, obey everything I've commanded you, we're thinking ethics. We're thinking Sermon on the Mount. We're thinking what the church has done to teach people about the character of the kingdom, how we live ethically in the kingdom, doing what's right, avoiding what's wrong. And it is certainly that. But that's not everything that Jesus told His disciples to do. Everything includes heal the sick and deliver the demonized. And if we're going to leave anything out, why would we leave out the very things that Jesus put first on the assignment sheet of His disciples? Now hear me carefully. We care for the poor. We minister to those that are addicted. We do all of those things. We love doing those things. There's a great joy in doing those things. But it's really not our option to leave off the parts that stretch us, that Jesus put high on the list. This, too, is part of our assignment. But what if we're not very good at that part? I mean, what if our strong suit is somewhere else than praying for the sick? You know, when I took chemistry, I could do the calculations, I could hear the lectures, I could spit back out what the professor had said on the test. I could do all of that. But when I got to the lab, I never could make labs go right. Seems like I was always figuring backwards from the way the results were supposed to be. I was trying to figure backwards what I was supposed to be doing. It just never worked. I was still trying to get my Bunsen burner lit, and this guy next to me is making polymers or something like that. So how would it have worked if I went to my chemistry professor and said, "Sir, I can learn this material and I can do the formulas and all that, but actually I'd like to opt out of lab." But how would that have gone? Well, here's the deal. We don't get to just go to lecture. Jesus lectures, and then he sends us to the lab. And the lab includes everything he has told us to do, including what he told the disciples on this occasion. And everything is for everyone. Lab is not optional to this course of the kingdom. Now, one final word about these closing verses of the story. Jesus knew that this kind of assignment wasn't always going to go well. So he also gave his disciples a bit of instruction about what to do when it didn't go well. He said, "Shake the dust off your feet." He didn't just make that up. He was picking up an old custom of the Jewish people that when they returned to the Holy Land from a pagan land, they would stop at the border and they would shake off their feet, literally shake off the dust from that pagan land. Still good advice, not about borders, but about ministry. So you worked hard to prepare your Sunday school lesson, but then it just didn't go so well. Folks didn't engage, and you're troubled about it. Jesus says, "Shake it off." You shared with your neighbor about your faith, and the words felt clumsy, and your neighbor looked at you like you were crazy and changed the subject. So what do? Shake it off. You prayed with your friend who needed healing, and the words, you struggled with the words, and actually the next day your friend was worse, not better. So what do? Shake it off. Jesus was moving on with the kingdom. His disciples were sent out. Some of the things worked well for them. Some of the things didn't work well. He would process with them what had worked well, what hadn't worked well, and then he moved on. And he said, "Shake it off. We're moving on," which is what we're doing with Jesus. Okay, so I've been going a while. That's the lecture. In just a bit, we're going to have lab, but not till we've come to the Lord's table. And then when you leave here, know that if you have your eyes open, you'll see the Lord assigning you this lab moment and that lab moment on through the week with the people you encounter. It's the normal Christian life. It's everything he's taught us to do. Now let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you did not give us some dumbed-down version of the discipleship life. You've given us the full-blown challenge, the full-blown calling. We thank you that you trust your Spirit to work in us that much, that you would send us out to do what you do, that we get to do it in your power. Lord, to say it out loud is a bit scary, but we trust you, And we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.